Praise be to God. How many of y'all know that there's a blessing in every storm?
Amen.
To those that are victorious, just make sure you don't get taken out by the storm.
Amen.
The storm of the enemy. Amen. The word says that the enemy comes in like a flood. When he comes in like a flood, we're to raise up a standard of praise and worship and thanksgiving. And then victory will be ours. There's something very powerful, and so many times it's so easily diminished or replaced, forgotten. You know, the word says, thirst and hunger for righteousness. Thirst and hunger for righteousness and you'll be filled. See, you can ask to be filled, but if you don't desire righteousness, you won't be. You won't be touched. See, so thirsting and hunger for righteousness actually is God's presence, because His presence is righteousness. He is righteous and justice in His presence. And without that presence, we desire something different. That's why it's so glorious to worship the Lord. Until that thirst and hunger is in you to always want God's presence in your life, you will never know or produce the righteousness of God. You'll produce your own righteousness. Those who thirst and hunger for righteousness will be filled with the Spirit of God. It says, seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Again, everything about is the righteousness of God, because His throne is justice and righteousness. Righteousness. It's God's character. It's His attributes. It's the integrity. It's the righteousness of God. It's a fruit, but it's produced by the presence of God. Other than that, that is a desire that you and I should want all the time. It's called a godly desire. So you're going to either have a godly desire or a deceptive desire, which is ungodly. You'll either have one or another. Amen? In Psalm 119... desires that please God, and the defiled have deceptive desires. And that's one of the things that the enemy is bringing to everyone as much as he can. He wants to promote a deceptive desire. In James chapter 1. Most people don't even know what deceptive desire is because it's deceptive. They don't even realize that this every deceptive desire promotes bondage. Where there's the bondage, there's a deceptive desire. Oh, James chapter 1. In verse 12. Blessed. Happy, fortune, and to be envied. Glory to God. Is the man who what? Endures temptation. For when he has been approved, after he's been tested by temptation, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who what? Love him. Temptation. The devil will tempt you with deceptive desires, and that's how he gets to people. That's everything. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So these temptations are actually evil desires. A deceptive desire is an evil desire. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own what? Deceptive desires. And then what? Enticed. For when this deceptive desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? sin, which is the presence of evil. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what?
Death.
Temptation is to be tempted to do something that is rebellious to the will of God in the moment. Boom. The evil enticement of influence is to provoke a deceptive desire and feed the presence of evil. I'm going to say that again. The evil enticement of influence is to provoke a deceptive desire. When the deceptive desire, what is it for? It's to feed the presence of evil, sin. And what it does then, it opens a permanent door. It opens a permanent door to evil until repentance and turn away is committed. So when the person is enticed, tempted, provoked by the enemy with a deceptive desire and commits the act of that deceptive desire, it feeds the presence of evil and opens a permanent door to the powers of darkness. It is permanent until that person repents and turns away from it. Does everybody understand that? See, many people have opened the door to these deceptive desires. They've repented but never turned away. So that door is permanently open to them, and the enemy can come in and steal, kill, and destroy. It's just a matter of time where the manifestation comes. Is everybody okay? Verse 22. Everybody there? Verse 21, I'm sorry. Therefore what? Lay aside all filthiness. Is filthiness an evil desire? How about a deceptive desire? Yeah. And overflow of wickedness. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to what? Save your souls. But be doers of the word and not what? Hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Wow. What kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of the liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be what? Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. Amen? So there's a difference, isn't there? Again, there's temptation. This temptation is the evil enticement of influence to provoke a deceptive desire and feed the presence of evil sin and open a permanent door to a demon. That door will stay open no matter what you do. You can repent. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But if you don't turn from it, that door will stay open. And it always produces that evil, deceptive desire. Again, a deceptive desire is anything that comes against God's will. Psalm 23. Oh, yes. Psalm 23. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Let's speak it. Starting at verse 1. The Lord is my what?
Shepherd.
He's my what?
Shepherd.
My shepherd. That makes you his sheep. That's a goat. I shall not what?
Want.
I shall not want. Is want a desire? That word want also means you won't lack. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in what?
Green
pastures. In other words, I shall not lack or desire what is displeasing to God. He makes me lie down in green pastures. In other words, he makes me eat his word and drink his spirit. Well, how does he do that? He leads me beside still waters. Just drinking of his spirit. The green pastures is eating of his word. Why? Because that's going to constantly prevent a deceptive desire from overtaking you. He restores my soul. In other words, by eating the word and drinking of his spirit, he's going to reset your soul with godly desires. By what? Teaching us righteousness. He leads me in the path of, he restores my soul. He resets my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me or convict me or correct me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. In other words, we have the anointing. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for what? Forever. Wow. Again, the Lord is our shepherd. We are the sheep. We will not lack or desire what is displeasing to God, because he makes us eat his word and drink his spirit to reset our soul with godly desires by teaching us righteousness and righteous desires, so we can resist deceptive desires and maintain an undefiled life pleasing to God. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 in verse 25. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:25. Let's speak it. Therefore, putting away lying, is that a deceptive desire? Amen. You bet you. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil or give place to a deceptive desire. That is everything. That's what happens. The enemy promotes, entices, provokes a deceptive desire. So if your desire changes from desiring righteousness in God's presence, you will exchange that for a deceptive desire. Let him who stole steal no longer. Was that a deceptive desire? Go out and steal? Yeah. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And let all bitterness, is bitterness a deceptive desire? How about wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice? But be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Deceptive desires that create fatal decisions. Deceptive desires create fatal decisions that defile and open permanent doors to the enemy. What do they create? Fatal decisions. Everyone has fallen into the arena where we say, man, I wish I would have never made that decision. How stupid could I be and still breathe? Psalm 24. Oh, no, I want to go a little further. I'm sorry. Ephesians 5. Snap it. You ready? Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love. Are these godly desires? Yeah. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication, which is a deceptive desire, and all uncleanness and covetousness. People don't even realize that covetousness is an ungodly desire. Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. So here it is again. These deceptive desires that produce fatal decisions will prevent a person from getting into heaven. Wow, that's why the wages of sin is death. Psalm 24. Psalm 24 and verse 3. You know, there are people that just don't take it serious. They don't take it serious at all. That's why the word says, be serious in your prayer time. People have no idea that they're still playing with death. In verse 3, 24:3, let's speak it. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place or his presence? His presence, the place of righteousness. He who has clean hands and a what? Pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to a what? Idol. Nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. The righteousness from God is salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him and who seek his face. That means abiding in the secret place of protection and strength to overcome deceptive desires. Again, without his presence, we have no power. No power. So that means that you and I must go back to the original state of desiring righteousness. Desire, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and things will be added to you. Is everybody okay? Amen. Philippians 2. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's speak it, please. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through what? Selfish ambitions and conceit. Is a selfish ambition a deceptive desire? Yes. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in a form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Wow. Again, selfish ambitions and conceit are deceptive desires. Amen? Selfish ambitions, conceit, and covetousness. I can't express it. Covetousness comes in such a deceptive way. Colossians chapter 3. Deceptive desires, that is dangerous, quickly dangerous. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. So is drugs a deceptive desire? That's what addiction is, right? It's a deceptive desire. It doesn't lead to anything good, does it? It leads to death. Same thing with alcohol. It's a deceptive desire. Overeating becomes a deceptive desire. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your thoughts on things above and not on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. With Christ, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth. Here we are again. Deceptive desires, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, which are the same as deceptive desires. Covetousness, again, which is what? Idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, which is all deceptive desires. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge and according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Evil desires and covetousness are deceptive desires. It nullifies the new man from position. It nullifies the new man from position and opening those permanent doors to demonic activity until there is true repentance and turning away. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Is everybody there? Acts chapter 5. Hallelujah. In verse 1. Acts 5, verse 1. Speak it. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife. Now, he was a disciple, I want you to know. They were disciples of the Lord, him and his wife. And they sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Wow. Now again, Ananias and Sapphira were disciples. It's not what they kept back, but what the agreement was to turn the money all over. That's what the agreement was, because they knew that they would be blessed. They made an agreement. They were going to sell something and turn the money over. Amen? And it says he kept, in verse 2 again, he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? See, people think that they're lying to man or getting away with it towards man. You can get away with it towards man all you want, but you ain't getting away with it from God. And keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not in your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your what? Own control. In other words, you had the choice to keep your agreement or not. That enticement came from the devil. And when they held back part of it, they brought a curse on themselves. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And a young man arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came and found her dead, carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Again, it wasn't about the money. It was about lying about it. In other words, there was an agreement. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to happen. And they decided to hold it back. And it brought back curse and death. Everyone understand that every curse leads to death. So what had happened opened the door to demonic activity. Does everybody understand that? Did they repent? No, neither one of them repented. They thought they were just going to get away with it. And they died. It was a deceptive desire influenced by Satan. Amen? Ooh, hallelujah. It was covetousness. That was a deceptive desire right now. It was called covetousness. I'm just going to hold this back for me. Nobody needs to know. Same thing with tithing. People have no idea how they bring curses on themselves. They make commitments with God. "Oh, Lord, if you'll do this for me, man, I'll do this." And they'll say, "Lord, I'm going to do all of these things." And then they don't commit to it. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis 3. Deceptive desires and covetousness is idolatry. And we don't even know how much they sold the land for. It could have been $10, $5, $25. Who knows? I hope it was more than that to die, you know. Again, it wasn't about the amount of money. It was about lying and defiling the agreement. Genesis 3. Is everybody there? Verse 1, "Now a serpent was more cunning than any beast." He still is, amen? "Of the field which the Lord God made. And he said to the woman," he did what? He spoke to the woman. "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." And of course the serpent said to the woman, "You ain't gonna die. God's a liar." "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave it to her husband, and he ate." And then both of her eyes were actually closed to the spirit realm and opened to the physical realm more. Now there's something that happened here. Because the woman had walked by this tree, this presence, multiple times. But there was no communication. This time there was a communication. This communication was provoking a deceptive desire. Because now, for the first time, who knows how long they were in the garden, even though the serpent was in the garden, how many times they walked by the tree, and that deceptive tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Many, many times walked by, never considered partaking of it because she heard what God had said. In fact, she knew so much of what God had said, she quoted it back to the serpent. But because she allowed him to speak to her, she allowed more than one word to come from him. She allowed multiple sentences to come from him. He imparted a deceptive desire. Let me tell you, don't think you're going to get away with allowing the voice of the stranger to speak to you multiple times without promoting a deceptive desire. He allowed her, she allowed the serpent to speak to her long enough to promote a deceptive desire to where now she saw that the tree was good for food. That was a deceptive desire. It was pleasant to the eyes. That was the deceptive desire. And a tree desirable to make one wise. In other words, more wiser than God. What a deceptive desire. Pulled them right out of the presence of God. Separated them. And the end of it was death. Wow. This is the voice of the serpent influenced deceptive desires. Again, that tree was always there. But never a desire until she allowed the serpent to speak long enough. Amen. Listen, the devil doesn't say one word. Boom, 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 boom. Those are his words. If he knows that you didn't reject the first one, he's going to give you more. If he knows that you didn't reject those, he's going to, that deceptive desire is already imparted. He's not an idiot. He'll outwit any human being, and especially, he's not after the unbeliever. He's already got him. He's after the believer. Amen. He wants to bring down every person that proclaims that Jesus Christ is their Lord. That's who he's after. John 8. Is everybody okay? Amen. Every deceptive desire will create a fatal decision that can move you off course, and you don't know what's going to happen. Things can be smooth, and then all of a sudden, boom, you don't ever know why this happened in your life. Because you forgot what you did. John 8, verse 42. Praise God. John 8. Johnny 8. Is everybody there? Amen. John 8, 42. Let's speak it. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. And the word says, those who say they love him will obey him. So if you say you love him and don't obey him, then you really don't know you don't love him. In fact, people throw that word love around like it's candy. Have no idea the backing of true love. You know, when somebody says, I love you, that means I'll die for you. That's true love. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're an idiot. I mean, because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your Father, the what? The devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth. No truth. He stands in deception with deceptive desires because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? For if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Why? Because he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not mine. You're not of God. Amen? Does everybody understand it? Satan, the father of deception. He is the father of deceptive desires. John chapter 10, while we're here. In verse 1. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow the stranger. A true sheep will not follow the stranger's voice, because the Lord is their shepherd. It's when you back off and reject the Lord as being your shepherd, you become your own shepherd. Does everybody get it? Amen. Then you're no longer his sheep. You become a goat. And a goat is nothing but an offspring, a Lucifer. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from the voice that promotes deceptive desires, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. When you become born again in the Spirit, your desire, because you thirst and hunger for righteousness, your desire is for God's presence all the time and always wanting to produce righteousness. You hate anything else that's anything but righteous. So you hate lies. You hate them. It doesn't mean you hate the people, but you hate what's using them. You hate deception. In fact, you hate being deceived yourself. You hate manipulation. You hate it. If you're truly his sheep and he is truly your shepherd, you love righteousness. And you love his presence. And you know you can't do nothing without his presence. Everything to you is him. Everything. It has nothing to do with money, fame, fortune, or relationships. It has to do with him, him, and him. Now he's your shepherd, and you're his sheep, and all things will be added to you, and you ain't got to hunt for nothing. Amen. Glory. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. That means his word. Converting the what? Soul, which means you're exchanging your ungodly desires for godly desires. Those evil desires and deceptive desires for righteous desires. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's what? Clean. Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be what? More to be what? Desired. That's a godly desire, isn't it? More to be desired than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them there's great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Those are deceptive desires. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Those are deceptive desires. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be what? Blameless. Other than that, I'm a blamer. And I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 34. Again, secret faults and presumptuous sins are deceptive desires. Psalm 34. Verse 11. Speak and come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Is the fear of the Lord a godly desire? Yeah. So if you don't have the fear of the Lord, do you have a deceptive desire? Yeah. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil. Depart from evil. Depart from evil. If evil had departed from evil, we wouldn't go through all the stuff we go through today. and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You can't do evil without a deceptive, evil, deceptive desire, right? To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all the troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all of them. He guards his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. Does everybody see that? Evil is going to slay the wicked. They're going to kill each other. And those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Now again, if you're an individual that is not seeking the righteousness of God, then you hate righteousness. That means you're in a place of being condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be what? Condemned. We want to desire a blameless life. In 1 John chapter 2. Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan and his kingdom. People still don't believe it out there. They just think every one of their thoughts is their own. Every one of their desires is their own. They're in fairy tale land. Verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Why? Because it's deceptive. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, is that a deceptive desire? The lust of the eyes, is that a deceptive desire? The pride of life, is that a deceptive desire? It's not of the Father. But it is of the devil. It's of the world. It's real simple. Get it before you get killed. And the world is passing away. Why? And the lust of it. Because those are all deceptive desires that draw mankind into hell. But he who does the will of God abides for what? Praise God. He who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 6. Glory. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. So can you practice righteousness by having deceptive desires? No, you can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. I'm going to say it again. You cannot produce righteousness with deceptive desires. It's impossible. Because your heart isn't fully there. It's not there. It's distant. Your relationship is distant. Oh, glory. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works. What are the works? Deceptive desires of the devil. Whoever has been born of God doesn't sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Wow. That means you and I got to abide in his presence by worship, by eating of his word, because you got to have the strength to overcome. In His presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5. Desire for righteousness will overpower the desire for sin. It will, if you truly have a desire for righteousness, it will always overpower the desire for sin. The moment you slack up on the area of a desire for righteousness, sin. He knows that deceptive presence of sin will begin to promote and provoke a deceptive desire. And once that it's agreed with, grab hold, and it's manifested, there's a permanent open door to the powers of darkness until that person turns away, repents, convinces it, and turns away. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. And we're going to close here. I think we got it. Amen? Verse 18, let's speak it. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself from deceptive desires. And the wicked one does not touch him. That's powerful. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one and deceptive desires. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Does everybody have this understanding today? Amen. That we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. These idols are called deceptive desires. Amen? That's what's destroying mankind. That's what's destroying many Christians, falling into deceptive desires by not truly maintaining a thirst and hunger for righteousness. You must love righteousness, you must thrive for righteousness, and you must produce righteousness. And it can only be done through His presence. Because only in His presence is righteousness. His Word talks about righteousness, but the true living righteousness of the true character of the one that loves me and you is produced by His presence. That's why it's so important to thirst and hunger for His presence. Because if you're a person that thirsts and hunger for His presence, you thirst and hunger for His righteousness. If you're not a person that thirsts and hunger, that doesn't thirst and hunger for His presence, you don't thirst and hunger for righteousness. It's impossible. And again, you cannot produce righteousness with deceptive desires. It's impossible. Amen? Praise God. Father, thank You for Your Word. We are honored and blessed. We thank You for counsel, correction, direction, conviction, that we may be exposed and self-examined. Lord, wherever there's a deceptive desire in any of us, expose it and remove it from us. Show us those things that are displeasing to You, that we may not fall into them again, but thirst and hunger for Your righteousness all the days of our life, that we may be blameless and not blamers, because blamers are deceptive desires. So Lord, have mercy upon us and let Your grace abound, and let this word be distributed to all those who are calling out on Your name today, that they may love righteousness, thirst and hunger for righteousness, and practice righteousness in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed and stay dressed with the glory.